this past week in Cincinnati, a lot of the camp directors came into Cincinnati for our annual camp director meeting. Every year, the teen camp directors come in. With that meeting, we also invite the preteen coordinator, Mr. Mark Welch, to come in. There's usually one or both of the directors for our Challenger program there at times, along with some of the administration. It's a great conference to be able to have and kind of debrief on how our camp program has gone the previous year. Again, these meetings took place this last week at the home office. Rand and I were able to drive in for the meetings, and it was a grueling 12 to 13 hour drive one way. We tried to do it all in one day and all in one day to get home. And it was a very, very profitable week. Those meetings are helpful to us on the camp team. We use them to assess and to evaluate our camp program to see how things are going and how we're doing. We also use that opportunity to recap what happened the previous year, the previous summer, the previous winter, in terms of finances, overall attendance for both staff and campers. We talk about the exit surveys, and we also talk about our Christian living content, things we talked about, how that theme worked for each of the camps and some of the resulting discussions that would come from that. Within the camp program, we're always evaluating our policies, our standards, to make sure that they're still effective for the program. Now, we have a wonderful mission statement for our teen camp program, for the United Youth Camp program. It essentially boils down to the fact that we want all of our teens, all of our youth, to recognize this wonderful calling that God has given to them. We discuss also in these meetings societal trends that are either creeping into the lives of our youth, that could be creeping into the lives of our youth, things like dress and grooming, tattoos, which for some reason seems to be a very big rage right now, body piercings and such. Mr. Roy Holiday, who's the Ministerial Member Services liaison, kind of the representative for the camp program, in his opening comments for our conference, he stated that the UYC program, the United Youth Camp program, is not trying to take the place of the family, but rather to help strengthen the family core from the youth to their parents, and then from the parents back to the youth, and then also from the youth and parents connecting them with God, encouraging and showing the way to baptism and a commitment to God's way of life. This is what we in the camp program are trying to do. Go with me, if you will, over to the book of Malachi. Malachi is one of my favorite books in the Bible. The more I read it, the more I really like some of what this prophet wrote about and some of the things that God inspired him to write for us. Malachi chapter 4, and all the way down at the very end of the chapter, verse 5. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, the prophet writes, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers." Satan has done a wonderful job in this society of messing things up. He's messing up relationships, he's messing up marriages, he's messing up how child-rearing principles should be going. He's doing a great job, though, at destroying the family unit. He's put in place a reversal of roles. He's put in place a matriarchal family structure. Divorce is prevalent. He's filled our lives to the point that families now are very busy. There's child-centered parenting, there's wimpy dads. Satan is effectively destroying the family structure in much of society. And in most things, as in most things, the church is typically just a subset of the society that we live in. With our camp program, we do exit surveys. I'd like to read a statement from one of our camper surveys. This is a camper that attended one of our camps this past summer. This camper wrote, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, so I'll just refer to it generically. This camper wrote, quote, "I've been coming to camp for 3 years. I live in this particular location. It's not a good place to live," this camper writes. "Coming to camp for 1 week is more than anyone in this camp could possibly understand. My cup of blessings overflow. This world is falling apart around us. And yet, the prophet Malachi here writes that the day is going to come when the family structure is rejuvenated, when parents and kids are reconnected and that proper balance is put back in place. Go with me, if you will, a few books forward. Let's go up to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. There's a verse about two-thirds of the way through this particular chapter. We oftentimes will focus on the first part of the chapter. This is Peter's very famous Pentecost sermon. We focus then on certain verses near the end of that. And then we'll also tend to focus at the very, very end of this chapter about this young, vibrant church growing. I want to read verse 39, though. Verse 39 is kind of right in the middle of this. It's kind of one of the transitional verses. And it's not often a verse that we read. But in speaking about our youth and the great purpose that God has for our youth, I think this is a very beautiful verse. Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. This is a promise that God gives to us, gives to our families. But what's the promise? What's the promise? There's a promise that's mentioned here in verse 39. It's to the moms and dads, it's to the adults, and it's also to their children. But what's the promise? It's, if we go back up one verse to verse 38, Peter said, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And here's the promise, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise that's available to us as adults when we enter that baptismal covenant, the promise that's available to us as adults and to our youth, to our kids, is the forgiveness of sins and the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. The Bible, we know, is full of promises. I don't know about you, but this is at the top of one of my favorite, most favorite promises that God makes available to us. Lots and lots of promises in the Bible. And I think this is perhaps one of my favorite. That God is not only calling and working with us as adults, but he's also reaching down into our into these subsequent generations. And he's reaching our kids. And he's reaching our youth. I think this is pretty incredible. We ourselves can't do much to top this great potential that we have for our kids. Within this verse implies the obedience to God's way of life, implies the obedience to his laws. And with that comes a great marriage. It comes a strong family unit. It comes a successful job career, happiness, and a fun-filled life. All of those can be blessings of putting God's way of life into action. And by doing that, then, God promises forgiveness of sins and him living with us and being a part of us. What parent or grandparent or family friend doesn't want these kind of blessings and promises for our kids, for our youth? God promises a bright future for both adults and parents and the youth who commit to him, who commit to his way of life. In the teen program, the teen camp program, we actually survey three different groups of people. We actually survey the campers themselves. We actually survey the parents, our campers' parents, and then we also actually survey our staff. In the parents' survey, we asked, one of the questions that we asked is, do you believe that God is calling your child or your children into his family? Of the respondents, which ends up being about a little bit more than half of our parents respond. So of the half that responded, 85% of them say yes. 85% of our parents that responded to that Etch A survey say, yes, I believe that God is calling my child, my teen. We asked a similar question to the campers themselves. Okay, teens, do you think that God is working with you? Do you think that God is calling you? Well, their question is on a sliding scale. It's on a 1 to 5 scale, with 5 being absolutely no question in my mind. So a 1 to 5 scale. For their question, do you believe that God is calling you as a teen? 86% answered a 5. Yes, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe God is calling me. Another 12% gave it a rating of a 4. Those are strong numbers. Those are strong numbers. Today in the sermon, I'd like to use the United Youth Camp program as a backdrop to show the great and amazing opportunities that God has made available for our youth, their parents, and also the staff who willingly serve in all of our programs throughout the year. Within the United Youth Camp program, we as camp directors and other leaders view teaching our youth in accordance with the Bible, and that's what we use as our foundation. We're very open in these last few years. We're very open that this is not a YMCA camp that we run, whether it's our preteen camps all the way up through our teen camps, and then even for our young adults with the Challenger program. We hold no bones about the fact that this is a church camp. This is a camp that we pray to God about. This is a camp where we carry Bibles and we study throughout the day and we put into practice godly principles. Go with me, if you will, back to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and the verses that we'll about that we'll read here in a minute, verses beginning in verse 6. These are verses that we take very seriously in the camp program, and we try to structure our day's activities around some of these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. This is ultimately our desired outcome from within the camp program. We desire for the youth who mature to the point of committing to God and His way of life by writing His laws and His way of life on their hearts. So it becomes who they are and what they desire to do. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Godliness is what you are. It's what you live. It's what your children see as your example, as our example. It's what we hear. This principle, though, of living God's way of life throughout the day is an important consideration for all of us. We shouldn't just be living God's way of life on the Sabbath or living God's way of life on certain days or when we get home from work. The command here is to teach our children diligently, that we should be steadfast about it, that it shouldn't kind of be the shotgun approach of we'll do it whenever we're thinking about it, but rather we should teach them diligently. And then it goes through several examples. And it's not that we should only be teaching when we're sitting in the house, when we're walking, and when we're lying down, when we're rising up. But those are beautiful examples that God inspired Moses to write down that essentially means throughout the day, in all of your activities, when you're cooking, when you're cleaning, when you're going off to this activity, when you're riding in a car, when you're having this discussion, God through Moses is saying, make sure to bring in God's way of life. Make sure to teach God's way of life. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, this goes to this constant awareness of God's way of life. A constant awareness. And whether we're a teen or whether we're, you know, a little bit older than that, we should have this constant awareness of who God is and this constant awareness of God's principles coming into our lives. These verses show a reminder of God's laws in our actions. This is the binding of the hands and what we do, what our hand finds to do and our physical activities throughout the day. It goes to our thoughts and what we see and what we hear. It's described here in verse 8 about how it's to be a frontlet between our eyes. It goes to that center of our mind and what we're thinking and what we're processing. In verse 9, it goes to our daily routines, goes to our habits and the things that we actually do on a day-to-day basis, writing them on our doorposts and on our gates. God's laws should go with us wherever we are. They should go with us wherever we go. They should travel with us. They should be in our actions and our thoughts throughout the day. These are great principles for all of us to make sure that we're implementing in our own personal lives. Within the camp program, we try to live these verses as well. And we try to structure our daily activities through these concepts, through these verses. I'd like to read a few excerpts from our parent survey. We asked one particular question. It says, what changes do you see in your child as a result of attending camp? I'm not going to read the entire phrase or the entire comment, but I just want to pull out some action phrases from what some of these parents have written. More convicted. God's word had a more powerful impact. Camp teachers made God's word come alive. Increased confidence, more willing, more enthusiasm, a change toward the positive. Light a mini feast. Another parent noted a gradual process conversion taking place. Again, it's not an overnight change, but it's this gradual process. Another wrote that they're encouraged by seeing other teens with the same belief. Oftentimes we have small congregations and our teens love getting together to see that they're not the only ones. More excited, a consistently positive attitude. These are some of the action phrases pulled out of some parent surveys. In the camp program, though, we support the parents teaching about God at home. We support our parents in teaching who God is and the blessings of His way of life. After all, this ultimate spiritual requirement is given to the parents to do. It's the parents' responsibility to do that. And at camps, we support and encourage what's being taught at home. We encourage that teaching about God. We encourage the actual teaching about God's way of life. Ultimately, it's the parents' responsibility to teach the youth. And then the next step further, then, it's the youth's responsibility then to answer the call. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the youth have God's Spirit working with them. We read of scriptures in the New Testament that go to support that idea. The youth have God's Spirit working with them, and they are being called, and they are being worked with by God. We can't put God in their heart, but we can facilitate that. We can facilitate that. Only the youth, can put God in their heart. Only they can take on that dedication and that zeal to following God's way of life. Let's go forward a little bit. If you'll follow me over to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel chapter 3 and verse 12, we see that God does put the emphasis here on the parents. He doesn't put it on anyone else other than the parents. And here's a wonderful example of this being done. First Samuel chapter 3 and verse 12, in that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. And it gets interesting to note here that God didn't hold Eli's sons' schools responsible, or their teachers responsible, or to bring it modern day slant for us, he didn't hold the Hollywood responsible, or the TV networks, or the church, or even Eli's wife. God held Eli himself responsible and accountable for this. If you go back to chapter 2 and verse 22, you can read of Eli's son's sins. God says Eli, as the parent, did nothing to stop it. Did nothing to continue that teaching of go this way and think like this and follow this law. God held Eli himself responsible. By contrast, we also see Abraham's example. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Here we see Abraham commanding his house, taking charge, being that fatherly leader, and saying, "No, this is what's right. In God's eyes, this is what we're going to do." God the Father, or Jesus Christ here, speaking on behalf of the God family, said that he's known him. He knows Abraham. And that he commands his children and his household to do what's right. I'd like to read a quote from the United Church of God's doctrinal paper on this particular topic of our youth. The church writes this, quote, "Interestingly, all the areas of Abraham's obedience, God stressed this one particular issue. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord." Again, quoting right from where we've just read. The church continues and writes, "God looked not only upon Abraham, but included his children with an expectation that Abraham would pass on to them the knowledge and practice of his ways. Furthermore, he expected those children would live that godly way and would in turn teach the next generation the same truths. This generation-to-generation process was a vital key in perpetuating the promises of the old covenant." End quote. God expected Abraham to teach his kids, and Abraham had that expectation, and Abraham expected his kids then to teach their kids, and so on and so forth. Parenting, though, can be difficult to see the progress that we're making in our children's lives. We watch them grow, and then we begin to ask questions. Oh, wonder why they did that, and don't do that, and haven't I taught you better off than to do those things? Children become adults who end up making their own decisions. As parents, we need to instill in them the understanding and the habit of doing what's right. That points them in the right direction, which hopefully then they continue in. And with God's involvement in that process, they then see the blessings that come from God's way of life. I'd like to read a quote from George Barna. George Barna is a researcher and surveyor of Christian tendencies and Christian habits within families and secular churches. Back in May of 2003, he did a study and came to this conclusion, quote, "The Barna study found that close to 9 out of 10 parents of children under the age of 13 believe they have the primary responsibility for teaching their children about religious beliefs and spiritual matters. Related research, however, revealed that a majority of parents do not spend any time during a typical week discussing religious matters or studying religious materials with their children. Most of those parents are willing to let their church or religious center provide all of the direct religious teaching and related religious experiences that their children receive." End quote. I think that's a sad finding. Parents, according to the study here, and again, this is of secular various organizations, 9 out of 10 parents believe that they have the responsibility to teach it, when in fact the reality is that while they believe it, they're not doing a whole lot to actually support that. I pray it's not the case here within God's church. Let's go over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. The wise man Solomon wrote here in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." As I mentioned before, it's us as parents' responsibilities to teach our kids. And as a congregation, it's our responsibility collectively to make sure we're supporting our children and encouraging them. It's ultimately, again, the parents' responsibility to teach, but it's also the youth's responsibility to answer that call. There's not much wiggle room here in this verse. We can't shove off that responsibility off onto the camp program or shove it off onto Sabbath school or off onto somebody else. God clearly states what he desires and expects from us in regards to the young people around us. He wants them to grow up knowing God's way of life. And he wants to see them convicted and have this desire, this writing of God's laws on their hearts. So how are we as a church doing in teaching our children about God? How do you think that we're doing in regards to some of these things we've been talking about? How do you think we're doing in teaching? The retention rates within the church are difficult to track. There's a lot of factors that go into it. And generally speaking, the retention rates are difficult to track. Typical Christianity organizations have retention rates between 24 and 25%. There's one specific church where their retention is closer to 90%. But typical church organizations are somewhere between 24 and 25%. Within the church, we did a quick study about 3 years ago, and it seems that about 59% of our teens stay on our files after they turn 18. So within the church, within United Church of God, again, about 3 years ago, we found that almost 60% stay on our files after they turn 18. What's not represented, though, in those numbers are the number of people who leave the church when they're 18 and then at some time later end up coming back. It's important for our youth not to use that as any sort of excuse to leave, to actually turn their back on God's way of life. But it was encouraging this last week at the camp directors meeting to find and to find that there are people coming back based on their youth experience, based on them growing up in the church and ended up leaving, and then now they're starting to come back. Some of them decades later. And the one thing that they point to is the various experiences that they had when they were a youth, the camps they went to, the programs that they had, the friends that they had, what they were taught when they were a youth. This past year, we had 16 camps and we had 9 preteen camps. It equals a little more than 900 campers that went through all of our camp programs between our preteen programs and our teen programs. 900 campers, over 700 staff. Now, some of those obviously overlap as people go to multiple camps, but 900 campers, over 900 campers and over 700 staff. Here are some of their comments, the campers' comments about how they view their view of camp. And the good news with these comments is that what parents are teaching and what the church and the camp program is doing in order to support our parents is sinking in. So here are some quotes from some campers. There is no experience like living with people just like you for even a week and knowing the kingdom of God will be like this forever. Here's another one. It's a place that holds so many great memories. I met some of my bestest friends here. I always look forward to this week. It's a highlight of my year. A camp was amazing. I can't wait for another year. It has truly helped me in my life. This one is interesting. My family isn't in the church. So here's a camper that whose parents don't regularly attend United. My family isn't in the church. And being a part of camp showed me a glimpse of what being in God's family is really like. So much love and unity is present, and it's absolutely beautiful. I've never felt the way I did here. Another one. I love how everyone is willing to help when someone is struggling, and they're so encouraging. Camp is all that I wait for all year. Two more. Camp has impacted my life positively in a major way. So here's a young teen acknowledging the fact that what's being taught and what the camp is supporting at home is really starting to sink in. It's impacted their life positively in a major way. One final one. This camp has encouraged me to have a better relationship with God and has taught me how important it is to follow God. these are things that we've read back in Proverbs and Deuteronomy and Malachi and other places. These things are starting to set in with our teens. And while it can be difficult to see how, you know, to see spiritual progress, it is setting in and it is sinking in. Through the camp experience, many campers realize that God has a purpose for them. They're not just somebody that shows up with mom and dad, but God actually has a purpose for our youth. That's what mom and dad teach at home, and it's what they hear each Sabbath. These things apply to them as well, and camp helps reinforce those promises that we as parents and grandparents and friends should be teaching and showing through our example. This past week, Mr. Kubik, United Church of God's president, Mr. Victor Kubik, was able to sit in on several of our sessions, and he made this statement. He said, quote, "Working with the children and youth is an extremely important function of the church," end quote. So he places a huge role on what parents are doing and how we as a camp program and as a church extended can help support what requirements God places on the family, places on the parents. In conclusion, the camp team is constantly evaluating our effectiveness. Over the course of the balance of this winter, we're planning to roll out something new that we discussed and brainstormed this past week. We find that, you know, we have our camp themes, and we'll set the camp theme, and then it's there for the camp program, and then we really don't hear much about it throughout the winter months. As a camp team for our preteen camps and for our teen camps, we're planning to roll out some parent guides that we can take what the campers learn at summer camp or at winter camp, and parents then can use some tips and some guides and some verses, some scriptures, be able to talk about it throughout the winter time. And every month or month and a half or so, we'll send out a refresher, a further document to kind of help give some talking points. So that we then are helping the parents teach their kids. We find that some parents are still learning some of the basics themselves, and they're not comfortable or they're not familiar with how to teach their kids or what to say to their kids. So we'd like to be able to provide some guides to help our parents in their God-given responsibility. I know we're already into these fall and wintry months, but we still hope to roll this out even on a small level between now and next summer. Go with me over to the book of John, if you will. I'd like to read a couple verses over in John. John chapter 4. Working with our youth can be energizing. It can be invigorating. It can be fun. But it's not without effort. And working with adults and young adults or older adults or grandparents, there's effort that goes into it. But that effort is a good effort. It's a godly effort. Jesus Christ here in John chapter 4 and verse 34. John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." This is something that God has set in motion. God has put the requirement on the parents to teach the next generation, to help teach them, to require of them that they show our youth that God's way really does truly work. Jesus' desire is to finish that which his Father has started. If you go over to the next chapter, chapter 5 and verse 17, continuing this idea that there's work and effort to be exercised, to be done. John chapter 5 and verse 17, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son are working to build a family. And we can easily sit back and say, yes, we as baptized adults or parents, you know, we're involved in that work, and God is working with us. But we also are working with our youth. Our youth are precious to God. They're very special in his eyes. And God is calling them and working with them much the same way he's working with us as adults. It's a great work that God the Father is doing. It's a great work that Jesus Christ himself is doing under God's direction. The church and other leaders and the parents, especially of our youth. It's a great work that each of us do in order to teach and support and encourage our youth that this way really does truly work. I'd like to read one final quote, again from the doctrinal paper that the church wrote. The church writes this, quote, "Parents and all members of the church must view children as genuine, respected participants of the congregation, hoping and expecting that they will become baptized fellow members. The biblical perspective is always to encourage people to answer God's calling, as opposed to offering loopholes, legitimizing no response, implying that it is equally valid for a child not to respond to God now is a serious mistake. Just as Abraham commanded his children, God urged ancient Israel to respond to him for their own good. He said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Because God's calling represents the best life available, children should be kept well aware of God's special invitation to them now." End quote. Brethren, as members of a loving congregation, let's support each other in what God is calling each and every one of us to become. That is fully adopted, fully God being members of our Father's great family.